This week on the Rock for Him podcast, we are going to be talking to the guys in the band Stonefall. Welcome into the Rock for Him podcast. I am your host, Sandshoes. And again, Jeremy Brown is not on tonight. Unfortunately, as everyone knows, he got a new job and he has been working extra late. So hopefully starting in January, he'll be back on and being with us. So we're looking forward to that. But as you can see, joined by my good friend, my brother in Christ, Riker Levine. Riker, thank you for being on tonight.
No problem.
And
man.
Our guests, the men of the hour, we are talking to Bobby, Mike, and Billy from the band Stonefall. How's it going tonight, fellas?
Good.
All right.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Tell us a little bit about the band. Tell us about yourselves. Like, what do you do in the band?
Well, man, Mike and I played the drums and just drums.
Just drums. You make it sound so simple. By the way, I'm a drummer, so I greatly appreciate your contribution to the band, okay?
Thank you.
Don't sell yourself short, man.
I'm Bobby, and I play bass, and I sing a little bit, backgrounds, and do some of the writing. And Mike also has done some of the writing too, so don't let him fool you. And he's really not that tall either; he just looks ugly.
Yeah, I'm sitting on a booster stool.
Yeah, Bobby's like a foot taller than all of us. Like,
yeah, not today.
Not today. Nice. I'm Billy, and I play guitar and lead vocals.
Hmm. So tell us a little bit about the band. Like, how long have you guys been around?
Stonefall, what have we been? Bobby, is about like
pretty close
to 2 years. Yeah, 3 years
okay.
now.
Two years? Yeah. Okay, 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, right in there somewhere.
Billy and I had played in a band together before for about 7 or 8 years, and then adult stuff, you know, happened, and so we didn't play for a long time. And then about 2 or 3 years ago, we decided it was time to start playing again. And we had kind of lost track of our drummer, and I had played with Mike at church years ago, and he came on and said something about, you know, wanting to do something a little more important than some of the stuff he'd played before. And I said, "Hey, got an idea." So,
metal bands, punk bands, just used to feel like a light in the darkness. Then it was just like, this is just a dark place.
Yes, indeed. So, tell us about this first EP that you guys released, just the self-titled Stonefall EP. I was listening. I think we've had it almost since you guys released it, and it's been on the top 15 ever since, like various songs off from it. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, the cover art was Bobby. He came up with the cover art on that, first of all. Just really love his creativity. He's man, he's so creative. So in so many ways. So love that piece of it. You know, these were when we first started, these were kind of four songs that we knew we could go right into the studio with and record, and felt, you know, pretty good about that. We had a gentleman that had approached us and said he would be he wanted to record us, and so we wanted to take advantage of that, and working with him, and now we're working with him again on the second album. But Yeah, that first album, we man, a lot of passion, a lot of love for those songs and the lyrics. Really just kind of, you know, God really called, put some things in our hearts with those lyrics. You know, if I just go through like kind of song by song, I Need Your Love is kind of that one that just, you know, for me, just kind of gets right in the face of what Jesus was doing, was to say, you know, some of the lines in it are like, I don't care about your carpet committees. I don't care if your hymnals are blue. I don't care if you got pads on your pews, you know, all the things that over the years I've heard churches breaking up over and whatnot. And it's like, you know what? I just need your love. I'm coming into a church. I just need your love. I need the love of Jesus in my life. And so really just to kind of put that out there in a really punk rock kind of way, you know. So,
I was going to say,
sort of aggressive in your face, like, hey, we just need your love.
I'm glad you brought up punk rock. I mean, I was going to mention everything from the, you mentioned the album art to the style of music and the way you're playing, the way you're singing was very like vintage punk rock. It was great. I caught it immediately. Yep. What then, and I guess it seems like that was kind of an inspiration for the style of it, but what were your inspirations musically for writing those, the type of style that you put into it? What were some of your inspirations there?
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Bobby. You've talked about this before, Bobby. Go ahead.
All right. You know, when I've written songs, I don't consider myself a songwriter, because if I sit down and say, okay, I got to write a song today, I've got notebooks full of stuff that I said I'm going to write, and it just is awful. You know, the songs that I have written that I feel best about and I'm proud about, and I think this means something, and you know, this could reach somebody. I don't really write anything to say this is going to be punk rock or this is going to be hard rock. You know, the lyrics come and then the music fits it. We haven't really targeted, you know, let's be this kind of band or that kind of band. You know, let's be hard rock or let's be punk rock. We've got a spectrum of songs. I think they all fit under rock. They're not necessarily, you know, this style of rock or that style of rock. So it's just kind of whatever happens, you know, we write the songs and then say, this is kind of what I hear. And then, you know, you bring it to the band and sometimes it kind of, mutates and changes to something else, usually something better. So, you know, didn't said, and sometimes people say, well, what kind of style do you guys are you guys? And, you know, I usually have to ask somebody else, what kind of style do you think this is? Cause I, you know, I really don't know. It's just, this is what we wrote and what do you think it is? So.
Well, first off, let me, do a little bit of housekeeping here. Facebook continues to hate us and it still says we're live with Cannibalistic. That was like 3 weeks ago. For some reason, it will not grab the events that I set up on here. So for anybody watching, this isn't Cannibalistic. Stonefall. So we apologize for that, guys. Facebook absolutely hates us.
We will fix it in post.
Yes.
I think everything hates us tonight. Everything keeps going wrong tonight. What is happening?
And of course, Kira's on there laughing at us. So hi, Kira. So I was going to say, you'd said that you ask people what they think you guys sound like, or, you know, what your guys' style is. When I listen to your guys' music, I pick up a couple of different things. First, you guys musically have that kind of like grungy kind of just this rhythm that reminds me of like a Soundgarden of, you know, some Nirvana. But then vocally, it's so clean and it blends so well with that grungy sound, but while being completely clean, I get this hint of like Weezer coming off from it. Like that's what hits my brain every time. Like I expect you guys to bust out in the Buddy Holly song. Not that you guys play that type of music, but just like, that's what it kind of reminds me of.
You know what's funny? Okay, here's what it reminded me of almost instantly. It reminded me of School of Rock. That the vibe of that movie. I heard it immediately. I hope you take that as a compliment because I absolutely love that movie.
Me too. Me too.
I'll admit to you, I'm a band teacher in you know, my real life. I teach a public school band, and we actually at ball games we do play Buddy Holly. But I'll admit to you, and that's one of my, I love that song, and I'll admit to you, I've actually never seen School of Rock. Maybe that's a
to do item,
a mark against me.
To do, yes.
Yeah, it's on my to do list. My kids always say, "You see School of Rock, Mr. Rice?" I'm like, I haven't seen it yet. So,
oh man, that's so good. Well, yeah, like Soundgarden and Nirvana certainly, definitely in my influences for sure. And yeah, you know, but you know, when I think about that. That rock influences, even like Johnny Cash is a rock influence for me, you know, I mean, it just, so I don't know. It's so hard to say. It's, you know, where we sort of end up, but to sort of riff off of what Bobby was saying, you know, I think we just really just take a lot of time. Like what is the Holy Spirit really laying on our hearts as we're writing a song? And then we always praying before we practice, you know, Lord, help us to, just assist you with whatever you're doing in people's lives and transforming them, and let us do things that aren't a distraction. And so, you know, give us those things, right? And, you know, so whatever that looks like, you know, we got on this next album, we got some stuff coming out that's, you know, very low key. And then we have some stuff where we've pushed the envelope of, you know, more into heavy metal, sort of maybe even, you know, I don't know. There's so many different genres of metal, but you know,
it's pretty diverse.
Moving into metal.
The next CD is going to be pretty diverse.
Yeah.
Stylistically.
Cool.
Yeah. We played at Firefest. We had a gentleman come up to us afterwards in Firefest, and he said, man, you guys remind me of The Who because your arrangements are just so well thought out and no one song sounds like another one. So we were like, wow, thank you. Like that was really a compliment to us, you know, like, yeah.
we make sure we tell everybody that too.
Absolutely. So, all right, one thing we really like to do here on the podcast, and it's one of the main inspirations behind what we do here, because obviously we want to hear about the music and the music you're creating, but it's more about who you guys are and your faith. So if you wouldn't mind taking a few minutes and telling us your testimonies, if each of you could maybe take between 3 and 5 minutes and tell us a little bit about how you came to know Christ, and how that led into music for you.
I'll go first. I was fortunate, grew up in a home where church was important and God was important and Christian parents, and down in the South in Texas. I went forward and got baptized at an early age. I was actually, I think it was just the beginning of my second year in college when I really figured out that, you know, what I'd done before wasn't what I needed, and I accepted Christ. I was actually leading the music, at church. My dad, later in, when I hit middle school, my dad went to seminary and became a pastor. And so, I was actually, it was a pretty short walk down the aisle for me because I was leading the music there, when I accepted Christ. And I just realized that's, you know, I heard him calling and I hadn't done it before. As far as music, and at the time I was a student in college, music student, working on an education degree, and you know, it actually took me a lot longer to get into, to join those two things, you know, my aside from being the music director at church choir and stuff, very traditional, you know, kind of church, it took me a long time before I got into listening to more, you know, contemporary Christian and rock, and then playing it, took me a long time for that. You know, I've only been doing this stuff about 18 or 19 years.
How about you, Mike?
I was raised the opposite. by my mom was about 18 when she had me, and she was a hippie rocker girl, and so we were poor and moving around and a lot of Black Sabbath and dancing, and it was a lot of fun. And I got a little older and unfortunately got into drugs and alcohol, became a rageaholic, and just sort of lived that life till about 2000 when 9/11 happened. And I went on a bender, my last bender, and I went over to my aunt's house and she told me about Jesus once again. And I honestly tried it on like a hat. You know, I wanted anything to stop this pain. So when Christ came into my life, not only did the pain stop, I completely transformed, like right in that instant. And it stayed ever since. And I've been in punk bands and metal bands. And when Christ came into my life, I still played, you know, classic rock at the bar and stuff, get paid. But I always just wanted to play at church. So I got that opportunity, started doing that in just probably 18 years. And I'm still growing in Christ. You know, I'm like, what, 22, 26? But the transformation that my life had is like two completely different lives. My mom still can't believe it, that, you know, I think some of my family is just waiting for the other shoe to drop, but it hasn't. It won't. But found this guy at a church. We were playing on the worship team, and I wanted to get out of playing at the bars, and he was looking for a drummer. So came with these guys. Yeah.
Awesome. And real quick, Kira says, Mike, she can 100% relate to your story, so thank you for sharing that. And the guys from Cannibalistic just jumped into the chat and says, hey, you guys don't look like them at all. So they say, hey, what's up?
Hey, Cannibalistic.
Hey, yeah, for sure. Well, I grew up in the church too, a little small town in South Dakota, so I didn't know anybody that didn't go to church. And and I, you know, kind of went, I feel like I went through those motions quite a bit most of my life. And then when I was in the army in Germany, my mom had sent me some stuff on the Holy Spirit, and I had never really heard about the Holy Spirit. And the stuff she was talking about, I was like, man, like, I think mom's kind of like slipping or something. Like, I think the cheese has slid off her cracker or something. I don't know. Like, you know, but I was kind of liking what she was saying about the power of the Holy Spirit in your life and what that looks like. And some of the things that come with that, like, you know, speaking in tongues and being remodeled and just, you know, she was describing all these things. And I was like, that's really weird, but man, if that's true, like I'd really like that. Like that would, I think that'd be really great. So I went way out into the woods in Germany all by myself and with the Bible. And I remember I sat down on a log and I just like read these couple of verses, and it was like the worst prayer ever. It was like, so God, you know, if this is like really a thing, like, I don't know, like, I think it'd be like, that'd be pretty cool to have, you know, like just like horrible prayer, you know, like, I don't believe you, but if it is true, I'd like to have it, you know? And then I just had this like moment of transformation where this just, I can't even describe it, just like joy poured into me. And I just started like singing. I mean, I was just crazy. And I just remember singing and singing and singing. And I don't even know how long. And I made my way at some point, sort of made my way back into the little town I was living in. And man, my life was just like completely changed. Just felt that power of the Holy Spirit. And then from that point on, I was just like, man, this is it. Like, there's nothing else. And that, you know, the joy of the Lord is my strength has like brought me through a lot of suffering and a lot of things in my life where I've been on the edge of yikes and, you know, nothing else is working, and you know, God's got to show up. There's nothing else. God's got to show up. And so just really have a heart for people that are on the edge of yikes, because I've been there so often. It's just like, hey, God can do this. Like, God's got this, and you're in the palm of his hand, you know, and just like that excitement and that joy, even when everything around you is falling apart, and it, you know, people are looking at you like, how can you smile, you know, or how can you find any joy in this? And it's like, no, man, the depth of your suffering like increases the depth of your capacity for joy too. And it's just a beautiful thing that God does in your life, you know? And so it's like, man, he sent his son Jesus to die. Like, you know, like there's no way I'd send one of my kids to die for anything, you know, like no way. So like, that's a beautiful thing. And anyway, just that kind of thing, just, you know, just, man, like Mike, you know, shining that light in the darkness, like, man, let's show us the dark places. We want to shine. So
that's awesome. Yeah. And you know, that prayer, God appreciates the prayers like that. He has to, because he keeps dealing with me, because most of mine are like, all right, God, it's me again. I am so sorry for this, but like that is normally how my prayers start.
Yes, yes.
So I want to ask you about one particular song of yours that I've listened to so many times, but in prepping for this show, I really like, I sat there with the headphones on. I'm like, all right, I want to dig into the song, Peculiar People. Like, there is one line in there that absolutely just punches people in the face. Like, how you came up with this line where, and I know I'm going to misquote it, so don't hate me for it. You can correct me, but if you were to get arrested for preaching the gospel, is there enough evidence to convict? I was like, oh, like, you guys came out swinging with that line. Like, if you were to get arrested, is there enough evidence to convict? I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, as many times as I heard that, it never hit me like it did today. Sitting there with the headphones, I'm like, oh, that's, whew, that's a good line. Like, tell me about the song.
Bobby wrote that one. Go for it, Bobby.
That line, I think I heard my dad use that in a sermon. And if it wasn't him, it was another preacher. So that came from a sermon I heard. I think it was dad. And, you know, I'm not sure, you know, that may not be, he may have got it from somebody else. You know how preachers are. That was when I wrote that song, the song Jesus Freak really had got to me, and I still love that song, and I like the questions it asks about being, you know, basically about being different and standing out. And so that kind of was an influence on my mind. And I just knew that question was, that question I had heard before, and it just kind of came back into my head. And, you know, I wanted to think about, you know, are we just doing things that, are we just, you know, do we have a fish on the car? Do we, you know, are we talking the talk? Are we really doing what we should? And that question, if, 'cause, you know, you get accused of doing things, and if you got accused of being a follower of Christ, my thought was, it'd be the worst thing ever if they said, you know, let him go, there's not enough evidence, you know? I thought, so that's kind of where that came from. And I think the whole song kind of circles around that question.
For sure. I mean, just some of the things you bring up in that song are very powerful, but when that line hit, It was like one of my old pastors used to say, smacking me upside the head with a 2x4. Like, that right there was that 2x4 moment where it's like, oh, ouch, that hurts.
Yeah. Thank you, man.
So well done on that.
I know you guys have talked about doing some stuff live and sets live. Do you have plans to be doing touring? Are you doing any touring now? Do you have plans to be doing touring?
Yeah, we're not touring right now. We had a show just a couple of nights ago, and about a week ago at actually Mike's church, and like in there, and we've been to Firefest. That was a lot of fun, man. Shout out to Firefest for such a great event that they've been doing for like 23 years. And anyway, just along the Columbia River here in Oregon, Oregon and Washington, just beautiful. No, we don't have any plans for a tour. We're working on this album right now. We've talked a little bit about maybe, you know, taking a couple of weeks to, like, you know, if we could find some sort of destination and some places along the way, like maybe. I've only briefly talked about this, so it's not like we've sat down and like worked out details. The other guys are like, whoa, 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 wait a minute.
Bobby, Mike, he's not telling. He hasn't told you guys are going on tour next week. He's
right, like, right.
If my boss will be pleased.
You know, I'm a public school band and music teacher, and I love my job. If somebody came to me and said, "Hey, you know, we want you to tour. You could make, you know, what you're making now." You know, it'd be one of those. It'd be a God thing if God said, "Hey, this is, we want you guys to tour," and we knew it was from Him. And you know, if we could do it, I'd love to. You know, right now, we're just looking for any shows we can get, any chances we can get here to play. You know, play around the Northwest, and you know, but I would play anywhere. If God said, "Hey, go play here," or "Do this, take this," yeah. You know, leave your family, leave your job. I guess He said that to a few people over the years. At the moment we don't. But you know, not saying we wouldn't. And if you know, we're just trying to you know, be a witness and get our music out there for people to hear.
Yeah, kind of building it one person at a time. You know, I mean, I feel like that's the beautiful part of it. It is a, you know, when you're in a Christian rock band, it's a ministry too, right? So, you know, we're praying for people before and after the show, and praying for people at our rehearsals that are, you know, coming, that are connecting with us and crossing our paths. You know, so, you know, just doing that, you know, just one person at a time. See what God's going to do with it, and you know, we're not here to do anything other than that, really. And love playing together. Like we just, you know, like our rehearsals are just a lot of fun. So, yeah.
Well, if you're talking about making a trip and finding a destination, Michigan right now, stay away from. It is channeling like Hoth right now. Like, I just seen a Tauntaun and a Wampa run by my window. Like, it is,
oh, good
like,
Lord.
Negative.
Hey, I love that stuff, man. There.
It's freezing out.
It's like 50. It's like balmy. It's 50 and like raining like crazy here. And I'm just like, it's December. We should have snow. Give us something else.
No.
Like a Yeti.
A Yeti.
Oh, man. So, I'm kind of jealous of you guys out there, though, because I always see, you know, on your sites and other sites, you know, hey, this festival, that festival, we're looking for people to play. And it's always over on that side of the country, and over here, that stuff is sparse. You know, I would love to see some of those things happen over here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Michigan is not huge for those type of festivals, honestly. And we're actually talking with Kira, who's in our chat. She's trying to start up another festival down in
Ohio.
I almost can't even. Why did you have to say that word?
Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said it. It's disgusting, and we hate them. But that's where she's trying to start it.
So yes, we are trying to get another festival on this side. So we may have to, if we can talk her into it, we may have to have you guys on
the. We'd love to do it.
Yeah.
So tell us about this new record that you guys got coming out. Like, is it gonna be longer? I mean, more than four songs, and I know you guys had said that it's gonna be a little bit heavier. What can you tell us about it?
Eight songs, so a full CD, full album. We have Seven of them we have played. We are in our set list right now, and one is we're still putting it together. It's a it's pretty I won't go into that one. I'll let Billy do that because that's we're working everything we do we work on together, but that's kind of that one is kind of he his it came from him. So yeah, it's got some heavier stylistically, musically heavier, and then some lyrically subject wise heavier. So and it's not all like super heavy. There's some things that are
I played a tambourine on one of them.
yeah you know and uh
Nice.
and uh and a uk and yeah so a tambourine and a baritone ukulele. So it's just kind of like I said, each song has its own identity, and we do try to do what works for the song and the message for that song. I'll let you add to that if you want, Billy.
Yeah, the even the one that where we're playing just a ukulele, I'm electric, but it's very clean, and then a tambourine. Mike's playing a tambourine, a little bit of kick, and even that one I would say has a real kind of Johnny Cash influence. It was, it's based on my mom was telling me a story about my grandma who had been a Christian her entire life, and she was in her almost 100, right around 100, and was telling my mom, "Hey, was knew she was getting ready to pass, and was a little worried that she hadn't forgiven some people in her life for some stuff that had happened, and she was a little scared about that." And so mom just told her, "So, well, you should just try, like take some time to try, and I'll leave you alone to do that." And then she came back and she just said, "Yeah, I was able to do that." And so we wrote a song called "I Will Try," and just sort of describing the things that happened to her throughout her life, and that made it hard for her to try even for all those years. But so, even when we're kind of moving in the, sort of lighter instrumentation, I feel like God is still taking a message and using it to, punch a little bit, take a 2x4. I don't know, maybe a 1x4. I don't know.
Something with some weight.
Right, something with some weight.
Right.
And we don't like, we don't go out to write those things. It's just what God lays on our hearts, really is. There was another instance where, and this is a song on the new album, is I was at the Union Gospel Mission one time here in Salem, Oregon, and this gentleman afterwards had come up. I had just talked very briefly about Jesus being a friend and forgiving us no matter what. He come up to me, I'll never forget, and he was kind of like tapping his finger in my chest, and he was like way bigger and taller than me, and like whew. And he was spit was hitting me in the face as he was asking me, so you're telling me that Jesus will forgive the person that sexually molested me when I was a kid, and I just remember like gulping and just going yes, and not sure what was gonna happen after I said that, so and he had an emotional moment there and he had to leave. I don't really know what happened to him after that, but it definitely impacted him in a way that he had never thought about before. And so that was the impetus for a song that it's very, very heavy. We took a long time writing it because we were concerned about even doing it live. But we have a bridge in it, I think, that really lays out the good news of Jesus Christ. But the first verse is about a daughter that's been molested by her dad. And then the pre-chorus is on her knees praying, take that, and then the chorus is take that which is bitter and make it sweet. And not sure how God can do that in her life. And then the second verse is about the mom who is also just, like, man, I just really, really failed my daughter and my marriage failed, and just, like, how can this ever work? And on her knees praying, take that which is bitter and make it sweet. And then the third verse is from the dad's perspective, and dad just knowing that he has ruined all these lives, and just like there's no way God can forgive him, and take that which is bitter. Well, the last line is, there's God can't forgive, and then. So we really take that moment to say, no matter what you've done or what's been done to you, God sent his son to die for you. And then Jesus so loves you. And, you know, and then move back into the chorus. God can take that which is bitter and make it sweet. And then pretty heavy instrumentation on that too. That's going to be a really, really powerful song. We're excited about that one. And really all of them on the album. I know, you know, there's not a song on there that we haven't completely poured our hearts into. I mean, they're just, we love God and we love, you know, just telling stories about how God makes a difference.
Hmm. I got a question for you guys. I often kind of, my train of thought tends to bleed into the podcast and the questions I ask. So sometimes there's questions that I've just been like tossing around in my own head over the week that I'm like, hey, maybe these guys have a cool thought about it. But recently I've been thinking a lot about like, I'm an artist. I like to make art in various different mediums. And there are some pieces, some writing projects, some, even something so simple as like a character for Dungeons and Dragons, like stuff like that, where it's something that I've thought about for so long, is something that I want to make, I intend to make at some point, but it's become so important to me that I kind of think I don't have the skill level good enough to make it correctly. Do you guys have anything like that in your lives right now, specifically with music, if that's there, of I've been wanting to make this for so long, but I'm kind of scared to because I want to make sure I'm doing it right because I've wanted to do this specific thing for so long.
Wow. I'm kind of doing it now.
I'm like, hey, it's not like that for some people are just like, let's do it. Let's go. So I was just curious, you know, like
I stepped away from the scene, which I was a part of in Portland. And, you know, going and playing something that has a lot of worth, you're not as popular. There's not big mosh pits. There's not a lot of autograph signing, but there's a difference that had, and it's something that I've always wanted to do. And now I'm doing it and it's a bit scary. You know, I've been doing it for a little bit, so it's not quite terrifying and uncharted territory, but it is much different.
I've been in music when I started playing bass. I've only been playing bass about 18 years, which, you know, a lot of the kids out there are going, well, that's a long time. But I've been teaching. This is year 31 for me teaching. You know, I.
Oh.
Bobby's cutting out a little bit.
Yep. Froze just a little bit.
Do you have anything, Billy?
Yeah. So, a couple of things. I remember when I first started playing, we were opening up for a band, and these were all professional musicians, you know, probably. You know, they've been doing it their whole life. They're in their 40s and 50s. And, you know, this was probably 10, 15 years ago. And I just remember just being so intimidated because I was just kind of starting and playing guitar and doing stuff, you know, and just like barely hanging on by a thread, it felt like. And I just remember, like, at some point, I think it was an interview by Johnny Cash. He was talking about his guitar player, like on those early songs. And they were like, how did you come up with that? Like, man, that was so awesome. Like that, you know, down, 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 down. And he was like, what do you mean? Like, that's all I could play. That was it. Like, that's all I had, you know, like, but I did it with everything I had, you know? Like, and so I thought, oh, I can do that. I can totally do that. Like, okay, I can't play a C chord like somebody that's been doing it for 30 years, but I can play a C chord like Billy, you know, like, and I can put my whole Billy into it and play the C chord, you know. And so I started doing that, and I had done that for a couple of years. And then we had been off and on opening for this band, and then we were kind of co-headlining with them at some point at an event. And I remember them, we were getting ready to do, I think it might even been Peculiar People at some point. And anyway, we they come over and the two guitarists come over and sat down to watch me play that solo during that song, or what I was doing during that song, because I'm doing like these sort of off rhythms in it, you know. Anyway, I was just like, oh wow, I'm just doing what I do. It's like that really kind of affirmed, like, okay, I just need to like really be true to myself, not try to be anybody else, just play like me, and whatever turns me on, that's what I'm gonna do. And then always making sure I'm challenging myself, right? Like, I don't ever want to feel like I'm just kind of phoning it in. In fact, one of the songs in this album Mike wrote, and we kind of purposely, I went in and I said, okay, I'm gonna write a guitar part for this that I can't sing along to. That I'm not worrying about vocals. I'm just going to play the guitar. I'm going to come, you know, arrange a guitar part. And then I'm going to arrange a vocal part, not worrying about the guitar. And then I'm going to put those two things together and see if I can actually do it. And so that's what we did, and was able to do that just to like challenge myself to grow and constantly trying to, you know, move forward with, you know, all aspects of playing. So I don't want to just be, you know, a guitar player or vocalist that's been doing those things for however many years. I actually want to, like, I want to be an experienced, you know, vocalist or guitarist, you know, getting better. So yeah, I don't know if that helps any, but being true to myself, that was the biggest thing. Just being authentic to who I am.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. And Bobby, you got cut off, man.
Yeah, I'm sorry you guys missed the revelation, the greatest.
Yeah, I know.
Great, you know, I answered all your questions. We're running out. No, but no, I was playing. I came to this job, and you know, we didn't have a bass player in the jazz band. And I was a tuba player, and so I was playing tuba for a bit, and then I took the school's bass home. I thought, I bet I could play this easy tune, and. I played, you know, I got some lessons and bought my own bass. And then I put up a Craigslist ad that said, you know, I just wanted to play with some other people, didn't want to play. And, you know, it wasn't supposed to be a band. It was just get together with some people and play. And then, you know, God kind of said, we started writing songs and they were all Christian. So really it's kind of like Billy said, you know, just, you know, be whatever it is God has for you. I don't like playing other people's music is fun. Our set list has a few covers in it, but the more we write, the less cover stuff we're doing, because I don't like playing other people's stuff. Cause I, you know, when we play our own stuff, somebody can say, boy, you're a really terrible bass player, Bobby. But they can't say that's not how the song goes because you know, we wrote it, or I wrote the bass line. And I, you know, I just try to, you know, I still get intimidated by, you know, thinking, you know, I'm really not that good at this. But you know, if God can use not that good at this in however way he wants, it's kind of, you know, just do it and, you know, fit the song and fit the ministry. And if, you know, God uses whatever talents I have, then I can handle that.
That's awesome. So thank you for that. And unfortunately we are quickly running out of time here. Before we get into prayer, I just want to share, I want to answer Riker's question, because for me it's the show. Like, this is that thing that I'm like, I want to do this, but I also do not want to screw it up. I want to be a blessing to you guys. I want to be a blessing to our listeners, and I want to honor and glorify God most of all. So when I get on here every single show, I always in my head is just like, ugh, don't screw this up. You know? So I hope that answered your question.
No, right. I love that. Yeah. That's just been something for me for the past couple of weeks. I've been working on, just for something that I started working on a couple weeks ago, and then kind of realized that I wasn't really good enough to do it the way I actually wanted to do it. So I have had to take a step back. I'm practicing it. I'm working on making it better, so that hopefully what looks like now, if I'm projecting everything correctly, potentially years in the future, I can actually do this the right way. So That's to do with writing. I started writing a series I've wanted to write for a long time, and I realized that it wasn't going to be good enough. So I took a step back, and I'm so. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't really address our audience very much. I'm usually just interviewing, but like, just in a general sense, I do think it is okay to take a step back and readdress and try to go at something that's very important to you differently to make sure it's better. We honor God by doing good work. And absolutely the spirit behind it is the more important thing, but it can, I think so often Christians discount the effort put into things does honor God. And so if we are making an effort to do things the best that we can to honor God, then that's just all the better. Plus it also maybe means that more people are going to actually see it and appreciate it and see your love for God through it. So, yeah,
love it.
I'm done now.
That's great.
Yeah. I love that, man. God, you know, gives us little things to do, so to speak, that challenge us in smaller ways. And then that takes us up to then that next step, and we have a little bit of a broader influence as a result of that. And then he gives us something again that's a little bit more challenging, and then that gives us just a little bit broader influence to a new group of people. And every time we do something like that, so that's beautiful, man. Yeah,
love it. All right, guys. Well, like I said earlier, we are unfortunately out of time. We want to have you guys back on again because I absolutely love your music. I know our listeners love your music. We are looking forward to the new CD coming out. Like, as soon as it comes out, let us know and we will get it on the station. Which, by the way, if you're watching, we are on a new station now. So, real quick, we are on Solid Rock Radio. And it's been a huge blessing. It's taken us a little bit of time to figure out the controls of it. But we're getting there. We should have a full... I mean, the podcast is always on there on Friday nights, but the daily show is just me messing around trying to get everything locked in. So, promise you, it's coming.
But yeah, I want to thank you guys. I was just kind of like listening to some, you know, Bobby and Mike had told me about this a little bit, so I started kind of opening up, you know, when we started having our stuff on your show and whatnot on the top 15 and whatnot. And then the podcast, and I started listening to the podcast, and I was just like, man, these are old. Like, these are so good. One, I'm learning about new music and lots of different genres, but I'm inspired and I'm like encouraged and I'm like, man, great job, guys. I don't put very much on my list to listen to because I have a lot of time. So if it crosses my threshold, it's got a lot of quality. So good job. You crossed my threshold.
Well, thank you for that.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you. We appreciate that. And I'm going to be honest with you. Like, this show has brought a ton of music to me. I mean, bands that I had never heard of, things I had never heard of. All of a sudden, like, Jeremy will throw it at me like, hey, we're going to have this band on. I'm like, who is that? And I spend time like deep diving into their catalog. I'm like, oh, man, these guys are amazing. Yeah. So, you know, we love it when bands that we had never heard of send us music like you guys did originally. I think I put out, hey, if anyone's looking to get airtime, send us some music. And all of a sudden, here's an EP sitting in our email. And I was like, all right, I'll check it out. Ooh, this is good. Like, it's like just one of those things where, you know, we love that. And then we get to share you guys with our listeners and our viewers. So, you know, that's why we do this, to share you guys with them. It's a blessing to us to be able to talk to you. Like, you guys have no idea how much we appreciate each and every one of our guests that come on. And you guys, this is fantastic. You guys didn't have to take time tonight to sit here and chat with us dorks. And here you are.
Same.
Same. Now, your heart really shows, man, for sure. Both you guys and Jeremy, too. Yeah, good job.
Well, thank you for that. But like I said 10 minutes ago, it's time for prayer. Yeah. We pray for each and every one of our guests. We have an entire thread set up It's Riker, Jeremy, myself, my 17-year-old daughter. We're all on it. We all pray through it every single day. So how can we be praying for you guys?
Opportunities to play, you know, whether it's a big tour or a church basement for a lock-in or something, just whatever God would have us to do. You know, that God, that will keep God's purpose as our purpose, you know, with our music, whatever he wants for it. At least that's on my mind.
Love it.
Yeah. Mike, anything?
Same. Just opportunities to share the gospel with our music and stay true to God's purpose and what meager talents we have to use us as much as possible.
Because you want them to have enough evidence to convict.
That's right.
See that callback there? All right. What about you, Billy?
Good job. Yeah, you know, we take a lot of time to pray. And one of the things, like before we start a show, like we just like very quickly just kind of like stand by the drums and just like say a quick prayer. And then every rehearsal too, every practice, every time we get together. And it's primarily like, God, we don't have any idea where anybody's at in their life or how you've been working and preparing their heart to hear these lyrics that you've given us. So, you know, Lord, just continue to give us lyrics, give us music that's going to assist you, you know, a year from now, 2 years from now, whenever from now, when people hear these songs that you have been preparing their heart to hear. And because we write them to glorify God and to bring that Holy Spirit power and transformation into people's lives. So that's, man, that's what we want to do. We want to be right. We want to have both hands holding that conduit.
Yes. Perfect. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and close this out in prayer. So, great and heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing Stonefall here. We appreciate the fact that Bobby and Mike and Billy all sacrificed their time to come on and talk with us and share their testimonies and just share a little bit about the band. Lord, I ask that you just open up the opportunities for them to get out there and play and to demonstrate the gospel to the people in the crowds and to the listeners. Lord, I ask that you just continue to guide them and bless them and give them the words that you want them to say. Lord, just lay it on their hearts. We thank you so much for what you've done in their lives so far, and I ask that you just continue to do that work in them. Lord, I thank you for Riker. I thank you for Jeremy. I thank you for Kira. I thank you for all of those that are watching and listening right now, for my wife, for my daughter, for just our families. Lord, right now, this is just an important time for all of us to spend as a family. I thank you for the show. I thank you for your Solid Rock Radio. And Lord, most of all, I thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die for our sins on the cross. In Jesus' holy, precious name, amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Well, nicely done, man. I like the way you pray.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Well, like I said before, we appreciate you guys being on. Like, this was awesome. We want to have you guys on again. I know we have so much more we have to talk about, so we'll get it set up and have you guys on again. To the people watching and listening, I want to thank you all for joining us. Riker, it's been awesome. Jeremy, we miss you, bro. And real quick, if you're watching right now, we're going to take the next 2-ish weeks off from our live podcast. We're still going to have, we got enough recorded that Solid Rock is going to be solid until we come back. But we're going to take the next 2 weeks off for the holidays. And then, if you are watching and you want to come on the show with us, reach out to us, because right now we have January completely open. So
reach out.
Season 5.
Wow. Nice.
So, well, anyways, thank you all for tuning in. And remember, if you're going to rock, rock for him.
If you like what you saw today, hit the subscribe and like button down below. And don't forget to share it to all your friends. Also, leave us a comment down below. If you're gonna rock, rock for him.